You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we'll of course be building up to the first day of the glorious Goodwood meeting, set to be a fantastic day of action and rolling right the way through all week. We've also got the Galway Festival of course in Ireland. There's Beverley and Wolverhampton domestically in the afternoon and a card at Worcester on Tuesday evening, so plenty to get your teeth stuck into with Dave Kelmer, Sam Turner and Kevin O'Malley on Racing Radio on Tuesday afternoon. Before all that, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on today's podcast is Stuart Beasley. How are you, Stu?
Yeah, very well. How are you doing, Sam? And very good afternoon to the listeners.
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm a little bit annoyed at this rain playing havoc with all the racing, Stu.
Me too.
Glen Eagles obviously out of one of the feature races of the meeting later on in the week. Perth's been abandoned due to waterlogging on Tuesday night. It's supposed to be July, Stu.
It sounds like January, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Anyway, hopefully we'll still have a good week's worth of racing nonetheless, and maybe it'll come back for certain horses will appreciate a bit of cut in the ground. But we'll start the Tuesday podcast, as we always do, with the Racing Post Monday jury. We'll be posing the questions to Stu before we look at Goodwood to get his thoughts on the weekend's action and throughout the week as well. First question then, what lessons can we learn from this year's King George? Obviously, we saw Golden Horn withdrawn in the morning, and the race was eventually taken by Luca Kamani's Postponed. It was a game performance, Stu.
Yeah, I think a few lessons that we could learn. I mean, firstly, I think it was the very best renewal there's ever been of that big race. Not a classic, but a grand finish, nevertheless. And Postponed, you know, fairly lightly raced and, you know, looked after. And, you know, lesson learnt there that made the difference in the inches, although you could argue that, you know, Eagle Top's not exactly over race, but the front two, you know, similar profiles in that respect. And certainly, you know, I think that it was a grand race, but, you know, not for the purist.
Yeah, that's right. Lacking the quality, perhaps. But,
yeah, just slightly.
Yeah, an exciting finish nonetheless. If they were to reoppose, do you think Eagle Top could get the better of him next time?
I do, to be honest. He had to switch coming through on the outside. Don't want to be critical at all of Frankie Dettori. You know, nobody rides, of course, better than he. But that said, you're talking about inches that it lost, or maybe even only 1 inch, and you know, it's got to have made a bit of a difference coming, you know, round wide. Came to win its race. I actually thought that it was absolutely weighed in, by the way, falling out. You know, I would have called it for sure. But as it turned out, you know, it was just crucial. But I do think that, I mean, Postpone those, still, you know, scope. He's still got a bit more scope to come, maybe. But I've always been an Eagle Top fan, and I do think next time they meet, he'll just about get the better of it.
Yeah, I think both got a little bit more scope to improve. We're not looking at an R course, though, are we, with either of those? Sure.
No, surely not. No.
Right, fair enough then. Did Connections make the right call in withdrawing Golden Horn is the second question posed.
Yeah.
Obviously, if the ground's unsuitable, you've got to take it out, haven't you, Stu, regardless of how good the horse is?
Yeah, I've got mixed feelings about it. I think that it was very much for them to decide. Mm. You know, I don't think anybody could say, oh, that's ridiculous, you know, taking it out. It is definitely for Connections to decide. And I think that what you need to have, really, is an absolute superstar to win, as it would be away from home, against the going of preference. And that, you know, they were thinking it would be totally against Golden Horn. You look at Frankel, that last run when he turned up, and will he, won't he, and stuff like that. And the, you know, they rolled the dice, and it came out to race. And I know that Sir Henry was massively keen to race it on that occasion, but he was racing against possibly one of the best horses that there's ever been on heavy going. So it really was away from home, if you like. And basically still came through and won. But, you know, you only probably get one of those a lifetime.
It would have spoiled it, really, if we'd have seen him go in very unsuitable ground. But having said that, we didn't really think Postponed would go in the ground. I mean, Luca Kamani's always said that he's a fast ground horse.
Yeah, and of course John Gosden said the same for Eagle Top.
For Eagle Top, yeah, exactly. So who knows? But yeah, that's the way of things, and he was withdrawn. Third question then on the Monday Jury this week. What else has caught your eye over the weekend or recently? Fantastic day of it on Saturday, if you can sort of sort it all out on your own, because there was a lot of it, wasn't there?
There certainly was, yeah. There's almost too much, really, wasn't there? You could say that the speculative bid thing caught my eye. For sure. I don't know if I found any watches over the weekend, but, you know, that was a shame, really. And I just hope that, you know, we're going through the Monday Jury now, and I just hope that they get their act together, really, and... It is difficult, but grey areas need sorting out in racing for the punter's sake and the industry's sake. So you know, it's a two-way thing, really. So
because that was a rare occasion, really, where it was both the punters and the bookmakers that were hurt, really. I mean, it didn't work out well for anyone. I think they have issued an apology, the stewards, this morning, which is right and proper, and it is all they can do at this stage, really, isn't it?
And also, I think Clever Cookie, from taking off its feet, you never thought it'd gone off at fours, would you, for the George, to be honest.
No.
But it's taken off its feet early doors. When it goes to York, if we carry on getting this stuff out here, Sam, you know, the torrential rain here and there, you've got to have a chance there, surely.
Maybe
take that from the weekend.
Proper mudlark
in the home straight.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on then to Glorious Goodwood, who wins the Sussex Stakes. Now, about a few hours ago, Stu, this would have been a mouth-watering question. We were looking forward to seeing Glen Eagles taking on Solo. Glen Eagles has since been withdrawn. Obviously, the ground unsuitable. Does it look like Solo's race to lose now?
You'd say so, wouldn't you? It's long odds on, isn't it, everywhere? Mm. So, yeah, you know, the value's gone for that one. As you say, it's been spoilt, and it's darned annoying, to say the least. One that I might try, though, you know, I don't want to be going to Glorious Goodwood and saying, yeah, I'll put this up at 4-9 or 1-2, or whatever it's going to be. What about trying A-Rod each way? I'm sure that when it run against the Grey Gatsby, you know, in the one at York, the Dante, I'm sure there was a bit of cut that day. So although A-Rod's got form on faster going, we know that he probably acts on, you know, with a bit of give. Hopefully it'll dry up a little bit and not be too gluey. That would just absolutely spoil it, of course. It'd be much, much harder for the punters as well.
Yeah, latest prices then for the Sussex Stakes, we have them here with William Hill. Solo, the 8-13 favourite. Knight of Thunder, 5-1. A-Rod, as Stu mentioned there, 8-1. Bellardo, 8-1. Cougar Mountain, 12s. Here comes Wen, 25s. 33s about Bossy Guest. And Gabriel is 40-1. So still should be a decent race, Stu, but perhaps not the duel that we were all expecting.
No.
Penultimate question then. Give us one or two fancies for the Betfred Mile and or the Stewards' Cup. Obviously, these races coming later in the week. I suppose we don't really know who's going to be entered in them, what with the inclement weather conditions.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. For the first things first, for the Mile, I've put G.M. Hopkins, but I noticed there's quite a few people going for that one. But if you check through the form book, it should be able to handle the going.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking at this stage, looking ahead, if you have to with your arm up your back and give a selection, you've got to be going for something that's probably going to, you know, like a bit of give in the ground. I'm not saying that it's certainly not dependent on that, because it's one on faster going than that for sure. But it might be one of those that's less handicapped, shall we say, than some of the main rivals. So going for that one each way, 8-10-1, if you can get it. You know, I reckon it probably should make the first four.
Yeah, okay, GM Hopkins in that one. Any thoughts to the Stewards' Cup?
Yeah, well, you know as well as I do that I've been following the horse that never wins.
We've all had one like that, Stu.
Yeah. If ever there's been a race for Major Jack, if he can turn up for the gig, I'm not sure, you know, and obviously we're 5 days away as we do the interview now, and I'm not at all sure that it's even the plan he's in there, but whether or not he gets there to take his part in the gig. But if he does, he'll be carrying my sort of pound each way again at hopefully a huge price. Every single time you see him, he's flashing home. He looks like he's got all traffic problems. They tried different jockeys. They tried everything to get the win out of him. But surely, you know, that race is absolutely set up for, you know, switch him off, come through fast and late, and hopefully, you know, grab at least a place. But even better if he won, if he chose that day to get his head in front.
Okay, Stu's thoughts then on the Stewards' Cup. And the final question on today's Monday Jury. Richard Hughes to justify top jockey favouritism, or is the value elsewhere? I'll run through the prices for the Goodwood Top Jockey Award. Richard Hughes, your 2-1 favourite. 3-1, James Doyle. William Buick, 9-2. 8-1, Joe Fanning. 10-1, Paul Hannigan. Joseph O'Brien, 12s. At Zaney and Dettori are 14s. Obviously, he's going to retire after Goodwood. He rides it so well, Stu. There'll be plenty of money on his horses. Is he going to be the top jockey this week?
I'd like to think so, both for, you know, for emotion and everything, really, every single aspect. Because I think he's been a great champion jockey, and obviously he's moving on now to maybe even better things. Who knows?
As a
trainer, but it's a tough act to follow. His riding career, that is for sure. But the thing is about Goodwood, you sort of nicked upon it there. He's absolutely phenomenal, his record. Even, you know, even if Ryan Moore's riding, his record's so much better over the last 5 years. Just checking them out, and it's phenomenally strike rate. I think it's over 20%. It's just absolutely fantastic. Basically, you know, I couldn't really oppose him, and I certainly hope he wins it as well. But it's always tough, isn't it? The races are so competitive.
Yeah.
And now with the going mix going in as well, we're all scampering around looking through the form book, seeing what acts on what going. It shouldn't be like that in the midst of summer, should it?
No, I suppose not. But two to one the price of Richard Hughes, then, if you fancy him to be the top jockey with us here at William Hill. That about concludes the Monday jury, then. We'll move ahead to look at four of the races, the first four indeed, on Tuesday at the card at Goodwood, first day of Glorious Goodwood Meeting. I'll give you a going update as we record, round about 20 past one on Monday afternoon. The going is soft on the straight track, good soft in places, and good to soft on the round track. So as we have the going, Stewie, that'll frame the selections for now, I guess. But I mean, who knows what it'll go off at. We'll start, though, with the 2 o'clock, the special stakes. This one's a handicap over a mile and a furlong. 18 of them set to take their chance at the time of recording. And a few real handicap specialists here, Stu.
Absolutely right, yes. Last year's winner is still in it so far as well, Sanoki and Star. I mean, a quick word on Mark Johnston. £44 up even to a £1 stake on his last 5 years. It's uncanny, is that? Because sometimes he has five or six in a race.
Yeah.
You know, so how the hell he manages that is, it shows, you know, what a phenomenal strike rate he really does have, you know, because all those will be factored into those stats. And he's 15% as well. And to be honest, absolutely fantastic record in this race, this 2 o'clock race. I think he's won it three times in the last 6 years, including Snoke and Star. So I wouldn't sort of put anybody off going Dutch on, you know, what his starting lineup is for a start. But where do you start with this one? I mean, out of those Mark Johnston ones, I'd probably like Firefighting slightly the best. I think Master of the World's okay. Just, you know, checking for the going just before we came on air. I think that's okay. Third to Baston's good form for that one, and of course Richard Hughes would be a fairy tale start to Hughes's last Glorious Goodwood. David Ellsworth, the trainer, gets a winner or two there, and so I think I probably would go for Master of the World there. But others to mention as well: Mount Logan, Luca Kumani's. To be honest, that one was third last time out, and you could just see him. Luca Kumani, in the old days, there was a race called the Extel Stakes, you know, a handicap, and he used to like sort of turn up with it and either get the winner or the second every time. In fact, I might even change my mind. I've stuck between the two, and I might actually plump for Mount Logan there with a Serious Danger Master of the World.
Okay, Mount Logan then gets the pick for Stu, then for Luca Kumani and Adam Kirby in the 2 o'clock, the special stakes. We'll move on then to the first group race of the meeting, the Vintage Stakes, coming up at 2:35. This is a group two over 7 furlongs. Officially, we've got 9 runners, but I can tell you this morning that Air Vice Marshall has very, very recently been withdrawn, just in the last sort of 10, 15 minutes. Were you going for that one, Stu?
No, but I was going to mention it, though.
So yeah.
This is how it's going to be, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah.
You'll be lucky just to pick a horse who takes his chance at the moment.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah. Moving on to it, I mean, this race, just for a start, just a bit of a history. It's been won by some superstars in the past. Troy, probably before you were born, actually, that one.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but
it won the Derby by about 9 lengths, I think. Dr. Davies, Sir Percy, all winners of this one. So, that, you know, it does attract, you know, a high calibre of horse. But looking at this race now, obviously it's breaking up as we speak quite a bit. Air Vice Marshall, I was going to say to you, only had 3 runs, but the one thing that I was going to say was that on the yielding going, it disappointed.
Yeah.
It went off 13-8 and took a bit of a hammering on the racecourse debut, that was. So whether or not it was greenness or the going, well, maybe we've just found out by the fact that they've withdrawn it.
Yeah.
They're not too keen, are they, on that one. Birchwood, He's one to be taken seriously, no doubt whatsoever about that. But of course, he's got that penalty. We've got a couple of unbeaten horses in this one, so a very decent field again. But the one I'm going to go for is Galileo Gold, Hugo Palmer, teaming up with Frankie the Tory. Now, that's quite significant, not at all sure. I don't think Frankie will have ridden this one before, because it was a winner at Haydock, a nice little race as well, and there was giving the on the going that day. It was good to soft officially, so I think that Galileo Gold will get through the going okay. Subsequently bought by Al Shakab Racing, and so of course Frankie the Tory goes on that one. Richard Hannan, well, you know the Hannan operation, obviously it's Richard Hannan Jr. now, but Richard Hannan has done well in this one as well, and he's got Palawan, who ran okay at Royal Ascot. So, you know, it's a good quality field, but I will just about side, I think, with Galileo Gold for Hugo Palmer, of course, who won the Irish Oaks. So.
Yeah, a man in red-hot form is Hugo Palmer. Galileo Gold then gets the pick in that 2.35, the Vintage Stakes for Stu. The 3.10 is the Group 2 Lennox Stakes, 7 furlongs at the trip for this one. 10 of them at the time of recording to go down, but I can tell you of the 10 that I'm looking at here, there are two non-runners to mention from this morning. Limato and Gloria Waits will not go. Were you keen on Gloria Waits?
Yeah, 40-1 as well.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, this is
ruined it for yourself.
This is literally how the non-runners are dropping this morning. Yeah. Every time I look at my screen, there's another non-runner. But yeah, Kevin Ryan's pulled that one out on account of the going.
Well, had a great form line. That two or more has been sort of obviously a fairly classy individual, and basically that's met up with Gloria Waits three times, and on the one time when it was really heavy going in Turkey, Gloria Waits beat it. Now I know that he's been out of form, but you know, maybe one for the future. I can't think that they brought that out because of the going though, but you know, Kevin Ryan, five winners on Saturday, so he comes right back to form. So my angle was, I mean, before Limato came out, Gloria Waits was 40-1, so I thought it was a cracker each way. So that was my little gem for you. So that got to throw that away now, haven't I?
Yeah, Kevin Ryan's scuppered you there somewhat.
Yeah. So it's going to be hard for me to make a connection. To be honest, at two or more, I was happy enough at what price it would be to leave it, to be honest, although it does boast a class. I mean, it's second in the Lockinge, you know, fourth in the Queen Anne's, be running in, you know, the highest group one and group two today with the Letwa tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the Monday. And certainly, you know, brings great form. What is the betting? I mean, Dutch Connections, course and distance winner, and of course, Charlie Hills. He's in fantastic form.
Yeah.
What have you got the betting?
No, I mean, they're just rejigging the market. I mean, Gloria Waits and Limato have obviously both only been withdrawn in the last hour and a half, so they're just juggling the market around. I imagine it'll be Tormore, followed by Dutch Connection, probably Safety Check of Godolphin, and then Tupi. I imagine that's the way they'll line up in market order. But yeah, I haven't got the prices at the moment. I suppose there is the case as well. Tormore could be rerouted with some more high-profile withdrawals later on in the week.
Yes, yeah. Well, also, Tupi was fourth behind Dutch Connection. Dutch Connection second next time up, of course, but the winner of the highest order, Dutch Connection, there two outings ago. So I'll probably go for Dutch Connection.
Okay, Dutch Connection then for Stu. In that group two, the Lennox Stakes, which again another field that's been decimated by the non-runners due to the weather conditions. The 3.45 then is the Summer Stakes. This one is a handicap over a mile and six. 14 of them declared for this one. I'm just looking down the list at the moment. They all go, which is rare for a race today. So get your selection in quick before they get pulled out, Stu.
Absolutely right. Yeah, I think you're right. There's quite a few to talk about here, and a lot of them have got sort of form against each other. And you'd think that'd make it easier, but to me, it just makes it more of a conundrum. You've got the likes of Notarized. Now, a couple of outings back in its course and distance winner as well, but a couple of outings back. Of course, it led the Northumberland Plate Field, and it could be a really shrewd placement, this, by Mark Johnston. If you remember, it weakened dramatically and ended up, it was about 15th or 16th. But to be quite honest about it, it led until about a furlong and a half out. It's coming back two furlongs. I know that, you know, they're getting action up there at the front a bit earlier in a mile and six than they would in the 2 miles. So, you know, perhaps you could read a little bit too much into that. But strictly looking at it, it had run a good race over a mile and six there. Meets one or two from that race here. And like I say, it could be great placement for Mark Johnson. He got a win out of it again since anyway. So, you know, and a good race it won as well. So basically, that one must have every chance. I probably wouldn't go for that as my selection, though. The top one, Astronorous, I hope that's the correct pronunciation. Pat Dobbs Riley for Amanda Perrett. Wanted to mention Amanda Perrett at Goodwood. She's absolutely fantastic. You know, she got, for a yard of her size and her winners, you know, she got a really good strike rate there. I'd written it down before I come in, but I've lost that now anyway, Sam. But basically, you know, we say it many a time when we're presenting the show, just how well Amanda Perrett does at that track. And Astronorous is certainly got a touch of class. Only had 10 runs in lifetime career, so, see, you know, reasonably used, but certainly scope for even a little bit more improvement, perhaps, as a four-year-old. And also, looking through the form book there, Sam, as well, notice that Astronorous has won when there's been a bit of giving the ground. So I think that's a Brucey bonus for us as well. So I certainly think that's every chance. Obviously, Mark Johnson's got another one besides Notarized. He's got Blue Wave in there coming back, and he could get it ready to come back for sure. Ajman Bridge been crying out for a trip. It's not one of my favourites, though, but Luca could have been looking at this. Like I say, he does eye these Goodwood races up. He has done throughout his illustrious training career. One that I might take a chance with, though, I'm tempted to go with Astronorous, but Oasis Fantasy, nice little jockey book in there of Richard Hughes. Now, this one run in the Northumberland Plate, you could say Notarized run better than that, even though Oasis Fantasy went past it in the closing stages. Once Notarized was beaten, there was no point in knocking it about. But Oasis Fantasy was drawn 21 in the Northumberland Plate, and that it's practically, I know it sounds ridiculous for a 2 mile race talking about the draw, but you know as well as I do, it's crucial with the bench coming up as they do. You know, it's really hard to win. Obviously, it's not like the Chester Cup, but it's not pleasant if you're drawn right out there. You know, it's pretty withy draw, is that. So, basically, I think that ruined it for it, and it kept getting stopped and started, just checked in its run almost every bend, just couldn't get through. So I think that we could upgrade that run. So I'm going to take a chance, I think, there with Oasis Fantasy each way and hope it's a nice price.
Okay, Oasis Fantasy then in the 3:45. Just remind us one more time then, please, Stu, of your selections for the first four races of the Glorious Goodwood meeting in 2015.
Right. Well, I have Mount Logan for the 2 o'clock. The 2:35 going for the Hugo Palmer 1, Galileo Gold. Reluctant selection in the 3:10 because mine's come out, but that is Dutch Connection. In the 3:45, in my notes, I put Astronorous and a saver each way on Oasis Fantasy, so one of those two.
Okay, excellent stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Stuart Beasley ahead of Tuesday's racing. You'll hear every race live, of course, from 1:40 p.m. on William Hill's Racing Radio with Dave Kellner, Sam Turner and Kevin O'Malley in the studio to guide you through the action. It's the first day, of course, of Glorious Goodwood. We've also got Beverley and Wolverhampton in the afternoon, Worcester in the evening, alongside the second day of the Galway Festival from Ireland. So something for everyone on Tuesday, plenty to get stuck into. Thanks very much for joining me on the podcast today, Stu. Best of luck with the selections, and I hope they all take their chance.
Yes, thank you very much, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.